everybody. If you want to take your seats, it's lovely to have you with us. Hello, everybody down the camera. I hope you're okay. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we were able to get up and get here. We pray, Lord, that as we are together this morning, as we worship you, you would feed us, teach us, and make us ready for what you have for us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. As we continue in our time of service, we'll take our offering up at this time as we bring the gifts that God has blessed us with, so we therefore can then bless others, not only within this church, but within this community as well. Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the abundance that you bless us with. Lord, as you give to us, so we also give freely. Lord, we lift these gifts to you as an offering, as a sign of our appreciation and thanks to you for all that you do. Father God, we ask, would you guide us? Would you direct our steps? Would you lead us to those that are in great need, so that we too may be able to bless them abundantly, not only with your love and with your grace and mercy, but by your word and by your gifts too. Lord, we just want to lift these to you now. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Just before we come to our notices, I just want to say again, many of you would have heard, but for those that haven't, Danielle and Ben got in touch on Wednesday, and sadly on Tuesday evening, Paul, Danielle's dad, passed away. She wanted us to share that with you, so sorry to be sharing that with you, but is at peace, and we just lift Ben and Danielle and the family in prayer at this time as they make plans and look to their future. But let's just take this moment now to lift them in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you at this time with this news. We're sorry for the loss of Paul. We lift Danielle and Ben and the family to you. And Lord, we just pray your love would embrace them. Would you comfort them and support them through these sad and difficult times ahead? Lord, as they make plans for the service, as they make plans for their future. Lord, we just pray that Paul is with you and at eternal rest and peace. And Lord, we just pray for the days, the weeks and months ahead. And we'll just lift them all into your loving care. Bless them, each according to their needs. In your loving name, Jesus. Amen. Well, as we come to notices this week, unfortunately you've got me. Carol is at home at the moment. Oh, flicking away, see? Can't even get that wrong. But tomorrow, do feel welcome to join us for prayer and meditation. It's via Zoom. This will come out in the update email. It's the same as it has been for the last 2 years, I think. But there we go. So prayer and meditation tomorrow at 9:30. You've got Mums and Tots on Tuesday at 10 o'clock. And this picture here is when Rob and I, on whatever day it was, Wednesday, days are merging into each other, took all the stuff that was in the vestry for the Ukraine appeal, through Jenny, Rob and Alex and Thomas, found United for Ukraine, a charity in Sheffield, and we took 3 carloads, and it was carloads up to the rafters, to the warehouse. And this stuff just at the forefront of the picture is what we had, and the rest is what has been donated, and there was more coming in. 2 ladies that were there having to sort through all that. There is more people, but on that particular day, there was just those two. And they were saying that they're with a charity working with lorry drivers that come from Poland. They bring whatever they need to bring over to the UK, and then they stop by, load up, and are able then to take it back. That was happening on that Wednesday, wasn't it? Thursday. So they go over, they have to rest 24 hours, and then they go on over through to the Ukraine. So it may be around yesterday, today, that the stuff is getting there. But that is absolutely amazing. And again, I just want to thank you two guys for leading us in getting all this stuff together, because that is going to help so many people. So well done. Thank you. Easter is not too far away. It is fast approaching. It's Good Friday. We're having a service of reflection here. We'll come in silence. We'll go out in silence. Reflective service before then we go on the walk of witness, which starts at 11:30, just from here. And then, although it's not on there, we'll be having refreshments, hot cross buns, that kind of stuff, back here after that service on Good Friday. Then we have Easter Sunday. All the times and details there. Open service in Ully. Back for breakfast, double sausage and bacon, I think, too, yeah. The Easter celebration, and then back at the cross for those that want to, for a very short service just after. But again, all this will be in the update email. It's also in the newsletter that's now out on the website. Also, there's still some copies at the back if you wish for those. And as usual, everything's updated on our website, the weekly update email, and just CFAX and everything else that's still available, I guess. So there we go. Kids, you're going to go out, and before you do, I'm going to pray over you, but you'll also be coming back in during the last song, because we're having some new members come into membership here. Well, they're not new, you know exactly who they are, but I want you to see that and be part of that as well. But Lord, as you just speak into their lives, we just pray over them as they go out, their children and the junior church leaders. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the gift of them. We thank you for their wisdom, the fact that they're able to show us and lead us in many things. Lord, speak into their hearts. Continue to grow, develop and nurture them, Lord, so that they may know you and know you abundantly of your love and your grace for them. So, Lord, speak into their hearts. May they be receptive this morning. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Be great if you've got your Bibles to open them up. Page 904, we're looking at John 18. Suzanne is going to come up and read that for us. Thank you. John chapter 18, page 904.
Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but they could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusations do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourself and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own accord? Or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am a Jew. Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I would not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber.
Thank you. That's great, thank you. Let's just pray. Father God, we just ask that you too would open our eyes, our hearts, our minds and our ears to be receptive of your word this morning. Holy Spirit, breathe afresh into us and just speak into our lives of what you are saying to us today through your word. Help us, Lord, to see how this applies for us. We ask this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Well, what a difference a day makes. 24 little hours. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. You'd be running out of here with your ears bleeding. But there ain't no sunshine or flowers, is there, as that song goes on? Sunshine and the flowers. But there isn't, because here we see Jesus facing the trial. What a difference a day makes. You just go back in time of where he was in the upper room with his disciples, sharing and bringing about a new covenant. You then see even in the other accounts how he'd washed their feet beforehand, how he'd been journeying with them, and then how he prayed that amazing, beautiful, powerful prayer as we found at the beginning of our series and as you find in John chapter 17. And then he goes out to the garden, troubled with a heavy burden, and the mob come and arrest him. And now he's already faced some questioning, as we heard the other week, and now he's in front of Pilate. He faces these trials. In the other gospel accounts, it's through six mini trials. You may remember we spoke of that a couple of years ago and went through them. But here, in the middle of the night on which he was arrested, Jesus was before the high priest Caiaphas, all the Jewish leaders of Jerusalem and the Sanhedrin, and then he's brought out the very next morning. The next trial begins in front of Pilate, a Roman governor of Israel at the time, as you know. And there he is not favoured amongst the people. He's been robbing them and he's been doing all kinds of things. And so he needs to be careful. This third trial, if you like, John's gospel doesn't mention, probably because it doesn't have the slightest impact on the outcome of what's happening in front of the Jewish king Herod, as we'll hear later on. But we know that this trial, the outcome is already set. Jesus is going to the cross. He is going to be crucified and he will die. Sorry if that's a spoiler. But there we go. And the fact that we have then here is someone's guilty of Jesus' death. Who is guilty of Jesus' death when we look at this? Many people blame Pilate for his death because, after all, he was the one, eventually, that sentences. Or does he? Because he finds no guilt in him, and that's interesting. We'll look at that in a bit more detail in a moment. It may not be quite fair to blame Pilate for his death. You'll recall, weeks before Jesus' arrest, it was Caiaphas that actually turned around and said, that the people do not understand that it's better for one man to die for the people than the whole nation should perish. He actually says this quite far back. It's found in chapter 11, verse 50. And yet Caiaphas didn't realize how true these words were. Because not only would Jesus save the Jews from the Romans, but also that Jesus would save his people from their sins. But it was with these words that the high priest, which sealed Jesus' fate, weeks before Jesus would stand before him in a mock trial. And we read through that as we go. But unlike the other Gospels, John doesn't give us much details. He's very straight to the point, as we've said before. And he doesn't talk about the trial by the high priest much, because it doesn't make any difference. The Jewish leaders had already know within their hearts what they're going to do. They already condemned Jesus to death. But what would the Roman governor Pilate say? Well, verse 28 to 31 talks of us where it says that Pilate wasn't interested. Straight away at the beginning it says, why have you brought him to me? What charges he committed? And straight away they're fumbling with the words, so they don't give him an exact answer of what he's charged with. It's there just saying, well, we wouldn't have brought him to you unless... If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you. And so Pilate says straight away, we'll take him away and judge him by your own laws. But they're unable to do that. And so in theory, the Jews might have been allowed to stone a man to death for certain religious crimes, but they couldn't execute him by crucifixion. Only the Romans were able to do that. And that was the death by which the Jewish leaders had decided was appropriate for Jesus. Interesting though how they think that that's appropriate, but yet you go back into the Old Testament and we see that this was for part of the plan. That, as we said earlier, Jesus was to save everyone from their sins. For when the Son of Man is raised, is where it talks of him upon the cross being raised. And when Jesus is raised, he'll draw all people to him. And we can go on. But this punishment, it's punishment of a revolutionary. But yet, Pilate isn't convinced. And we follow that story and we see that Pilate didn't want to convict him. He said he was innocent, he didn't deserve to die. And yet, the reason he tried to pass the book back to the Jewish leaders in the first place, where he says, as I say in verse 31, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. And so they panicked. They didn't get rid of him that easily. So Pilate went back and talked to Jesus. And here we see at the heart of this mini trial, if you like, before Pilate, hinges on two questions of what Pilate says. What kind of king is Jesus? And what is truth? Jesus answers, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I may not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world. Now it's important that you see that part there because Pilate would feel threatened if he's a king. But Jesus very clearly tells him the truth. We're talking about truth throughout of all of this and how Jesus speaks that. And he says, my kingdom is not of this world. But my kingdom is of another place. Jewish leaders have told Pilate that Jesus claimed to be king of the Jews. The other Gospels tell us that it was in the trial in front of Caiaphas of where it all come from about. That if Jesus was claiming to be a king, it could be seen as a threat. And so there had to be a tighter grip in the Roman Empire. And so it mattered whether Jesus was actually a king or not, and by which means. That's why he says, my kingdom is not of this world. It's not like other kingdoms. Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, which is exactly what he's on about. It means the kingdom of heaven. And more than 50 times in the Gospels, we hear of this. The kingdom of God does not refer to where God is a king, but rather the kingdom of God. He's talking all about God's reign over heaven and earth, in all power and in all authority. And all that, as we heard, is given to Jesus. So he has the exact right to say that he is a king, but that his kingdom is not of this world. God's kingly rule. Jesus is the king, but not the kind of king that Pilate would recognize. That's why he says, in the Message version, slightly different, it says that my kingdom, says Jesus, doesn't consist of what you see around me. If it did, my followers would fight, so I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But I'm not that kind of king. Not the world's kind of king. And you can go back in the Old Testament and you can see the world's kind of kings. Some that do right in the sight of the Lord and some that do evil in the sight of the Lord. There's differences. But yet, this very fact of the question of what kind of king Jesus is irrelevant because Jesus goes on to explain. And he says, the fact that I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And you find Pilate retorts back at verse 38, what is truth? It's a huge question. What is truth? And we see this great importance that this truth is revealed, and it's here that Pilate has heard the truth and knows that Jesus is truly innocent. He knows it within his heart of hearts. Just like when you look back at the end of chapter 16 and the disciples say, we now know that you are truly from God. And therefore you don't need to ask us any more questions because we know. And here Jesus reveals the truth to Pilate as well. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. He's hardly said anything when you look at it to Pilate. He's been asked a couple of questions and he answers him, but he answers with the truth. Because there's power and truth that comes from Jesus. It's where John tells us at the beginning in chapter 1 that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is who he is. This is what he is. This is who he is for us. And this is who he is standing in front of Pilate. Eternal life comes through knowing and truly believing in the truth. The truth that it was God Almighty who created this earth from nothing. Came and stood on nothing because there was nothing to stand on. Reached out to nowhere and grabbed something and hung it on nothing and told it to stay there and brought about life. Together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit brought all that about. The truth that human beings cut ourselves off from God by rejecting him and rebelling against him. It's been going since time began. But yet when there's power and this truth spoken into it, then there's a real difference. The truth that only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can bring. And can bring us back to God. That's why this is the truth. Jesus himself was the truth. That's why he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. As he speaks out time and time again. It's Jesus who brings truth, who brings eternal life. And it's where in chapter 8, verse 32 of John, he says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. There's something we can rest and think about, that the truth will set you free. No more lies. No more harbouring, no more evil schemes, no more crumbling under pressure or the burdens or being manipulated. Jesus Christ came, is the way, the truth and the life. And the truth sets you free. And then you will know the truth and it will set you free. So if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. What is truth? Pilate asks. Who's so cynical? Who thought that all truth was relative? To many government officials, and we talk of that then, and we can even talk of it now. Truth was whatever the majority of people agreed with, whatever they wanted to conjure up and have the majority believe in, that was then truth for them. By crikey, is it like that now? But here we're talking about the truth. Not to advance our own or their own personal power or political goals. But that Jesus is the way, the truth and the life, became a human being. That Jesus Christ revealed the truth about God and about eternal life. And how it set the captives free. As you can look right back through the Exodus. And the many Exoduses since then. And the ones that continue. Even this day. The great exoduses that are going on all over the world where people are fleeing for their lives. We pray that God brings them to safety. There's countless testimonies of where people walk thousands of miles through many countries knowing that they're protected and guarded by God, and they declare that because the truth sets them free. the whole reason of this truth is why they nailed Jesus to the cross. Because they rejected that truth. They rejected him for who he is. And sadly, there are many people still today who don't want to hear that truth. And as we know, Pilate, again, went out to the Jews and said, I find no basis of a charge for him. But it's your custom, for me to release to you a prisoner. Not his doing, but their doing. Says it there, verse 39. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at a time at the time of Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? Here's an opportunity for him to wash his hands of it and have no more of their evil doing. Verse 40. No, they shouted. Release to us Barabbas. Would you go to a court where someone's on trial, maybe for murder? Don't put him away. Release him. Let him out. So what if there's a revolutionary and rises up and has done bad things? Let him out. Put the innocent person away. Don't want him. Bring that one out. This is what they're faced with. This is what happens. Pilate knew Jesus was innocent, but to give himself away out, without losing face, without losing grip and power, he made the suggestion that might pardon Jesus rather than Barabbas so that he could be convicted. But it didn't work. So he tried a different strategy. Pilate had Jesus flogged and the soldiers mocked Jesus with the crown of thorns and the purple robe. More on that next week. But his best attempts failed. His best attempts at releasing Jesus failed. Pilate was trapped in a corner. To keep the peace, he would have to have Jesus executed. He was faced with no other choice. Because the truth, the true truth, if you like, was ignored. And the truth that was then made with the others was created. But he refused to accept the responsibility for his death. The other Gospels record it as symbolic, if you like, the action that Pilate took, which becomes a byword in our culture today. He simply washed his hands of the whole affair and he passed the book back to Caiaphas, the Jewish leaders and the crowd, and said, you deal with it. In one last attempt before he had Jesus sentenced. Because it just wasn't the ignorant crowds chanting, but the high priests as well. Thank you. Where they rejected Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. It's where in Isaiah, it's where he wrote that the Lord our God over other lords beside you have ruled over us, but your name alone do we honour. They forget the hypocrisy of what they're saying about and what they're talking about. Of what Isaiah foretold and what he spoke about there. And yet, all their great joy and all their celebrations, the long awaiting for the Messiah, is finally here with them. And they reject it. From everlasting to everlasting, they say in their prayer, God, beside thee we have no king, redeemer or saviour, nor liberator, deliverer, provider. None who takes away pity every time of distress and trouble. We have no king but thee, they say. And yet here is the truth standing before them. Who is their liberator? Who will deliver them? Who takes away all their sins? Who is a provider and a saviour and a redeemer? And for that, they simply reject. And it's amazing how even the chief priests were so indignant at Jesus telling the truth that they knew they were denying the heart of their Jewish faith. And even worse than that, they were also rejecting Jesus, the Son of God, their true Messiah. and in that. As a prologue to John's Gospel, as it records in chapter 1, verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, he was there at the beginning, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. They rejected him. Caiaphas, the Jewish leaders, should they shoulder the blame for Jesus' death? Pilate was not without guilt. The crowd weren't without guilt. So who does it rest on? Where's the truth? It's interesting that in 1770, Edward Burke wrote, it's not working, didn't have it on there. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And that's exactly what we see here. Evil is triumphing. Because, if you like, good men there are doing nothing. Pilate knew Jesus was innocent. Three times he said, I find no basis for a charge against him. He tried to set him free, but yet the crowd and the mobs, as hard as he tried, went against and rejected the truth. And so the Easter events unfolded to their ultimate conclusion. And once again, we'll see and we hear, finally, Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. What is truth? Who is guilty? I guess the jury's out. Let's pray. Father God, I wonder if, like the crowd, like the Jewish leaders, the elders and all those that were there together, in the face of the truth, in the face of the one who came from his heavenly throne in the form of a human, fully human yet fully divine, I wonder, Lord, would we join with the crowd too? Would we too shout for Barabbas and deny Jesus? Lord, I pray by the guidance of your Holy Spirit, through your wisdom, through your grace and your mercy, that you would guide us on the right steps, that you would enable us to stand for the truth, to speak the truth, and yet ultimately, Lord, to know the truth, the way and the life in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us all of our days as we go forward. Help us, Lord, as we journey through these next few days, as we come ever closer to the day of the cross. But Lord, we know also that we look forward to the day of resurrection. Let us not skip the cross and the day after and fast forward as quick as we can to the day of resurrection. Lord, let us reflect and be reminded of the great cost, of the great sacrifice of ignoring the truth and what that means. Lord, guide us all of our days, I pray. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. We're reminded that as we do come around this table, the bread and the wine set out. But know that the bread is broken of your body, that the wine poured out is your blood. And Lord, as we just declared there, that we are washed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do, for all that you have done, for that great cost, that great sacrifice, for the atonement, so that there is at one-ment together the body of Christ. Amen. and speaking of the body of Christ as we continually grow. I'd love to invite David and Sue and Deirdre and Tony up here with me as we welcome you into a membership here, the Solness Baptist Church. Come around, guys, come on up. Move around this room, come on. Move along the bus. Well, it is a great privilege, and it's great that we see people coming into membership. It's not about being part of a club and we're a member of a club, because we're not a club. We're the body of Christ and we grow together, and what it means to that. It's about searching and discerning together the mind of God through Christ and how we are able to journey with that. What part do we play in that? And we all have a part to play. God equips us with gifts and skills, each one of us. And sometimes we may need a nudge with that. Sometimes we may need a push with that. But recognising as we build together the body of Christ. So it's great privilege to welcome into membership David, Sue, Tony and Deirdre here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ at Swallowness Baptist Church. Members together. And together we believe and identify and follow Jesus Christ. Together we accept the privileges and the honours and responsibilities of being church members. And we want to commit you into faithful worship, into prayer and steadfast service and witnesses of the truth here, not only in Swalness, but in the community and further and wider across our nations. And we've seen and heard you share in the church mission. And we want to encourage and support each of you in the life and service of that, as leaders and members to represent Christ to those that we meet, wherever we meet. And so, as we pray together, I'd like maybe one of two of you, if you want to come up, and we lay hands and we pray with them. But if you're able to, also stand as we pray over David and Sue, Tony and Deirdre. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. And we ask for David, for Sue, for Tony and Deirdre, that they be blessed and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. May they be fully equipped for your calling and ministry as disciples of you, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the Holy Spirit to equip, empower, and guide for your calling in this church and witness within the world. As sisters and brothers, as we lay our hands upon you, we receive you into the membership of this church. Together we pray over you as we welcome you, and we promise to encourage, support you as followers of Christ Jesus and members together of his body. Lord, we recall that we're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that we may proclaim the mighty acts of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Lord, these children are your children, the light of the world. So let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. We ask this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So Lord, continue. Bless us, guide us. May we unite together in the strongest union of all, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you that we are entwined within that love, within that relationship. Lord, guard us all the days of our life in the bonds and love and grace. In your name we ask. Amen. Give a round of applause. Well, as we continue and we come around the Lord's table, we gather, though we still may be scattered, we gather together, as we've been talking of, as the body of Christ, as members together. The Lord's table is set. We may think that he is the guest, but in actual fact, we are the guest, as he is the one that invites us around his table. And so we gather together. We have bread for breaking, wine for drinking, the symbols of his body and his blood together. We come, you and I, companions together on this journey. Some full of life and eager and raring, others weary and tired and burdensome. However we find ourselves, we come and we gather because we find ourselves at the feet of Jesus together. And so we pray, created, redeeming God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you for the covenant of grace that was made for our salvation in your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. We come this day as companion disciples to watch over one another, to walk together in ways known and still to be made known. Lord, through this sacrifice, through this new covenant, through this unique relationship that we have with you, would you pour your Spirit upon us? Help us to walk in your ways and the life that we live together, so that we may become an offering of love through our duty and delight that is truly glorifying to you, Father God. This day we give ourselves again to you, to each other, to be bound together in fellowship, to work together in the unity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for the sake of your mission. So Father, we ask. Father, we seek. And Father God, we give you thanks for all that you have done. Amen. We remember so often as we recall that the night that Jesus was betrayed, as he sat in that upper room, reclining at table with his most dear friends, even the one that would betray him, as they were celebrating too the Passover. Jesus, during supper, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." And also during the supper, he took the cup and said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for all, for the forgiveness of sins for all. Drink in remembrance of me." And so as we partake of this bread and as we drink of this wine, we do so in the knowledge of what Christ has done for each and every one of us. And as he says that he will not drink or eat of it again until we are united with him. And so as we continue in our service, we do so in remembrance together of what Christ has done for each of us. Let's give thanks. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you and praise for your covenant of grace. Covenant expressed in people who know forgiveness. The weary who are refreshed, the hungry who are nourished, the captives who are set free, and the oppressed who experience liberation. Lord, we thank you that you made us to be part of your story. Thank you, Jesus, for revealing your love in your death and resurrection, and who continues to share life with us through bread and through wine. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who sustains us in our walk together, helping us to watch over each other, to pray for one another, to work together, walk together for justice and truth. Amen. This one loaf, one people represented as Christ's body, which is for us. Take and eat, each of you. And also the wine, his blood poured out for all, for once and for all. Eat the bread as you receive it. We'll keep the cup as a sign of our covenant together, and we'll drink that together. The bread is gluten-free, so if there's any allergies. But also if you, for whatever reason, don't wish to take it, just allow the elements to pass by without any fear or embarrassment. So let us take and receive the body and the blood of Christ. One people one cup, the sign of a new covenant poured out for you and for many. It is a covenant sealed by his blood. And so as we drink, let us be thankful and agree never to forget of Christ's sacrifice for us. Amen. Lord, as we continue, as we pray, we journey together, Father God. In this journey, we've been nourished, had our thirst quenched through broken bread and wine poured in thanksgiving for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, would you send us out to be generous to those we meet this week, that we may show through word and deed that, Lord Jesus, is not dead, but is risen and present amongst us all. Lord, we also pray in this crumbling and decaying world of all the things that are going on. Lord, you know that our hearts cry out for the conflicts and the wars that go on around. At the moment, the main focus, it seems to be, is of course Ukraine and Russia. We pray for the people of all nations. Lord, we pray your peace upon these terrible situations. Lord, we pray that there would be an end, not just to this war, but all wars. We pray, Lord, that you would bring safety and comfort for those that are caught up in these horrific situations. We pray for safe passage, for doors to be opened. And Lord, we also pray that doors will be shut and remain firmly closed in such these atrocious acts. Lord, we also pray for United for Ukraine, the charity based in Sheffield. Lord, we pray for them as they are part of many other organisations, literally around the world, that are racing to get the aid that is needed into these troubled spots. Lord, we pray for safe passage. We pray that these gifts will be a comfort to the people that would receive them. Lord, we also pray for stability, not only in these countries, but Lord, around the world and more closer to home. We see the rising cost of food and fuel. Lord, I'm sure we're beginning to hear stories of people that are unable to eat or even put their heating on. Lord, this is the year 2022, not 1822. How in a world that you have created, that is abundant with supplies, can we live so selfishly? Lord, I call upon you for those that are in power of governments and leaders of countries, that they would wake up and unite together in your name and bring about a change and bring about the end to poverty and misery. Lord, give them a voice to speak up. Give them patience. Give them wisdom, we pray. And Lord, speaking of patience, we also give thanks and ask patience too. We give thanks for prayers that have been answered, but patience for prayers that are yet to be answered. May your will be done. We pray for wisdom and strength. We pray, Lord, for that, for those that may have lost loved ones. We pray, Lord, that there will be eternal peace. And Father, we, of course, pray here as your people, in your church, in this community. May you help us. Help us to walk in truth, in the light, in justice, but to humbly walk along and see your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Well, we thank you once again. It's been great this morning. Do take great care. Stay safe, and God bless.